Very happy to have on the phone with me now Father Peter Fonseca from the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and he is going to be a speaker in the free four-part live online webinar series that we talked about last Monday when Michael George from the Catholic Foundation was in studio with me, and I also had Father Jason Cargo on the phone, and Father Cargo gave a really good update on his own health situation and really his near-death experience of the condition that he was treated for earlier this year. And as we mentioned, Father is going to be the speaker on September 14th for these live webinar series. And so today we are introducing you to Father Peter Fonseca. As I mentioned, from the Archdiocese of St. Louis, he serves as both the parochial administrator and also the Director of Continuing Formation of Priests for the Archdiocese of St. Louis. And his presentation is going to be Monday, September 21st, 7 to 8 p.m., as they all are. And he'll be talking about principles of Catholic bioethics, quality of life, and the dignity of the human person. And so we welcome to the program Father Peter Fonseca. Father, thanks for taking some time with us. Welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It's a joy to join you guys for this radio show, and I'm looking forward to the presentation in the coming weeks.
Yeah, you know, Michael George was bragging about you when I spoke off the air earlier today in speaking to him, and he said, oh, Father is just an amazing speaker, and he could make anything interesting. And I'm guessing this topic is something that is hard to talk about, and I guess not interesting as much as really important for people to come and hear, because this might be the kind of topic that they'd want to, well, I don't think I'm ready to talk about this now, because it's kind of an uncomfortable topic, isn't it?
It certainly is an uncomfortable topic. I mean, the reality is we make plans for all kinds of things in our life, but death is one of those things that is certain in our life, and for some reason we sort of shy away from making those plans. But I have to say, the plans pay off. And just having the discussion, you don't have to figure out all the answers right now, but beginning to have the discussion is a life send. You know, otherwise, medicine is really rapidly advancing. And so now it's not that you just simply pass away. Oftentimes, through sadly some incidences, you could find yourself or you can find a loved one in the intensive care unit and up against some pressure to make some very tough choices. And so if you've at least had the conversation with your loved ones, there's at least a basis to begin to have those conversations as they arise, in particular later in your life. So I think it's just extremely important to sit down with your loved ones to sort of consider it, but also to step back and take a little bit of time to learn what the church teaches on this, what good ethics is on this, so that you can sort of have a compass towards that path when you get to that point in your life.
And how did you become an expert on this topic? Is this something that you studied formally, or you just have a great interest in, or why this topic with you?
Sure. So my training, I graduated from seminary, was ordained a priest in 2015. I had a master's degree in theology and a master's of divinity. Shortly after that, I was asked to go back and continue my education. So while I was serving as an associate pastor, I went back and got a secular master of science in biomedical ethics and a certification in Catholic healthcare ethics, just as a means of helping the priests here in St. Louis, the faithful here in St. Louis, in navigating some of these things. We've got a lot of Catholic hospitals. We have two medical schools here in St. Louis. And so I think the bishop was looking for somebody to have the training in theology and ethics. But, you know, this particular topic sort of came as I was finishing up my graduate degree. My pastor at the time had just come back from a philanthropy seminar. And he said, wouldn't it be great if we could go ahead and have a conversation for our parishioners on this? He said, there's all kinds of people that are having these serious discussions and things like this who, you know, they need to be able to have these discussions. And so we said, okay, let's throw an event out together. Let's have a conversation with those in our parish who want to. And we opened it up and we had 200 people register for the first one. So much so we had to have a second one just to fill the people in the parish. And I think people are grateful when they take a little bit of time to have those discussions.
Yeah, and you had been here back in February, I think right before COVID hit, you know, the storm of COVID, and you had spoken at St. Rita Parish. And do you travel a lot outside of the Archdiocese? Is this part of your ministry that you travel around, or is it kind of unusual for you to be speaking outside of your flock, so to speak?
Sure. So my primary mission as a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, first off, is to my parishioners here at St. Theodore and Flint Hill. but also to the priest who I'm blessed to serve as the director of continuing formation. That is my primary responsibility given to me by my bishop. However, with this knowledge, I do a fair amount of traveling, talking to people of different backgrounds on these topics, because I think it's important. I'm very grateful to have a bishop who sees the missionary vision of the church and recognizes the importance in not only building up the church here in St. Louis, but across the country as well.
Yeah, and your talk is on principles of Catholic bioethics, and I want to get into some of those principles and maybe some of the specifics of what you're planning on speaking about during this online webinar. Again, Father Peter Fonseca is my guest. He'll be hosting the one of four of these online webinars, and his will be Monday, September 21st, 7 to 8 p.m., and I'll give you a few more details about how you can register, and they do want you to register for this. Before we get into the particulars, let's just talk about basic principles. When we look at bioethics, you know, from bird's eye view, what are some of the basic principles that we should have in mind?
Sure. I think the first thing to stop is to remember that all of the church's moral teaching is rooted in the respect and the dignity of every human person. To recognize that every human person is created in the image and likeness of God, we're redeemed in Jesus Christ, and we share that common destiny, God willing, of spending eternity with God forever in heaven. So we have to situate all of our discussion within the dignity and the sanctity of every human person. It's God who gives us life, and he's adopted us as sons and daughters of his, and he was willing to go to the cross and suffer and die so that we could have eternal life. And I think when we keep that big picture in perspective, it helps us when we get down into some of those nitty-gritty conversations. I think we get ourselves into trouble when we lose sight of the fact that who each and every person is, whether that's a patient, whether that's ourselves, whether that's a loved one. Each and every one of us is created in God's image and likeness. And Jesus reminds us in the scriptures, what you do to the least one of these, you do unto me. And so this chance and opportunity to encounter Jesus Christ in the sick and in the infirmed. And I think if you keep that in mind, a lot of the more difficult questions become a little bit simpler to have.
Yeah, certainly. And when we talk about Catholic bioethics, how would you describe that, and what are some of the key parts of that discussion and perhaps that you'll be speaking about in the 21st?
Sure. So I think the first thing to realize is that the church, we're very blessed to live in the Catholic Church, divinely inspired, divinely protected by the Holy Spirit, and to recognize that the church gives us these moral guides as a way to live well. The church wants what is best for us. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas, oftentimes considered one of the greatest thinkers in our church, he defines sin as saying God is only offended by us when we act against our own good. God loves us. God wants what's best for us. And so these rules and these guidance of the church are to help us, even when it doesn't necessarily make sense. And so I think that's the first thing, to situate it within the context of our church, to situate it within the context of a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who wants what's best for us. Then when we step back and we begin to look at things specifically, I think we have to realize, okay, well, what are our requirements? And I think there's three major ones. One, we don't want to commit any evil. We want to try and prevent any evil. And if there is evil, we want to correct. And so I think when we take that sort of bird's eye view of what is bioethics, it's a practical application of church teaching, of good, sound reasoning, towards the examples that we see in medicine and in the treatment of the human person. And so this presentation is designed, looking at the end of life, to give you just a couple basic principles. So we'll stop for a moment, we'll ask ourselves, what does it mean to actually act? What makes an action good or bad? Then we'll move on and say, okay, well, there's sometimes when an action is good, but it has these bad, unintended consequences. For example, maybe needing to take morphine at the end of our life, which can, in some cases, speed up the case of death. Is that okay? So we'll look at that from sort of a bird's eye view of what does it mean to have an action, what makes an action good or bad. And then we'll get into some of the specifics. For example, what does the church mean when she talks about ordinary and extraordinary care, or proportionate and disproportionate care? What does the church teach on artificial nutrition and hydration? The church's reasonings behind physician-assisted suicide, as well as what does it mean to actually pass away? What about donating of organs and tissue? And then we'll conclude with just a final discussion on advanced directives. What are some of the documents I can prepare now to make sure that if my time comes and I can't make my choices, that my wishes and desires are respected? So it's a comprehensive vision. We just touched the surface. The hope is to spark a conversation, that hopefully it sparks some questions inside the people who participate in this webinar, and they get a chance to go back and talk with their family, perhaps talk with their pastor back home if they still have questions, and really begin to get a plan in place for them.
And I watched a video podcast of your talk at St. Rita from earlier this year, and you made a statement that really caught my attention. You said, death is changing. And it sounds like a provocative statement, but I thought once you explained what you were talking about, it made a lot of sense. What does that mean, that death is changing?
Sure. You know, even when we talk about death today, I think oftentimes we use the word that so-and-so passed away, which is true. But when you think of medicine in the past, it was sort of people would go to sleep and they would die. But now medicine is rapidly advancing. We have all kinds of technology. We have all kinds of drugs that can keep people alive longer, which is good. I think many of us are only alive today because of some medical intervention earlier in our life. I know that's certainly true in my life. But with these goods, things become a little more complicated. So for example, it's not just I've passed away. Well, what happens if my heart is beating by a machine, but there's no activity in my brain? Am I still alive? Or it used to be that if you got a certain kind of cancer, there was no treatment option at all for them. Well, now what about these treatment options that might keep me alive for 6 months or a year? Do I need to undergo those very painful treatments? How do I determine what medical care I need and what I don't? And so as the medicine gets better, it's good for us. It helps us live fuller, more active lives. But it also comes with some more complex questions as those advances are put into practice in our daily lives.
Yes. There's a lot of people that may think, this talk is really going to be really good for those people who are in their 80s or 90s or, really at the door of, eternity, so to speak. But a lot of people maybe in my age category in their 40s or 50s are going to have situations where they're going to be the caretakers of somebody. They might be the one that are going to be executing these decisions or making the decisions. So who do you hope is going to tune in, or who are you going to be targeting for your talk on the 21st?
Sure, that's a good point. Of course, those who are aging and maybe facing some of these medical issues, I think that presentation will be helpful for them. But I think it'll also be helpful for the people you mentioned, the caregivers. I tell people all the time, I am a durable power of attorney for health for like 5 priests in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. I think it's just because they think I do ethics, I might be good. But even for my parents and things like this. But further, one of the biggest shocks for me as a priest, and I've been a priest now about 5 years. I went to a very good seminar, was blessed with great training. But one of the biggest shocks to me was how death affects families when plans aren't made. And I would see it time and time again where there would be a funeral and things would be fine, but then Christmas season would be rolling around and somebody would say, Father, can I come and see you? I've got some things I need to talk about. And we start talking and say, Mom's death has really caused a rift in our family, and I don't know how we're going to get together for Christmas. It might have been material things. It might have been, Mom said I could have this blanket, but my brother also said Mom could have the blanket. Mom probably told him they both could have the blanket, but it means something to them because there were no plans. Or even more sad, people will come up and say, Father, I kind of feel like I made the wrong choice with my mom. Or they'll say, my brother now thinks I killed Mom because I made this medical decision. And so, two things. One, for those who are older, make each of those plans. That's one of the best gifts you can leave your families, to leave those plans, give them a sense of peace in those difficult times. But also for those younger people as well, so that you don't have to make rash decisions in an intensive care unit or in an emergency room, but that you have some time to think about these principles ahead of time, begin to think how the church thinks, begin to make these things not just for yourself, but also for those you might be called upon to be making decisions for.
Yes, Father Peter Fonseca is my guest from the Archdiocese of St. Louis. He is going to be doing a live online webinar, one of 4 in a series. The first one, in fact, begins today being Labor Day, a week from today on the 14th, with Father Jason Cargo, one of our beloved local priests from St. Joseph Catholic Church in Richardson. His is going to be called Pastoral Care of the Sick and Dying. Thursday, September 17th will be Michael Lynch, who will talk on legal considerations, ensuring your wishes are followed. And then Father Peter Fonseca on Monday, September 21st, Principles of Catholic Bioethics. And then it's going to wrap up on Thursday, September 24th, Funeral Service and Cemetery Planning with Chris Taylor and Michael George from the Catholic Foundation, I believe, is going to be emceeing or involved in all these as well. Registration is necessary and spaces are limited, so go to catholicfoundation.com or call 972-331 1645, 972-331-1645. I'll give that information out one more time before we wrap up this interview. And Father Peter, I think perhaps, and you can tell me if you agree, more and more people are beginning to look at traditional Catholic Church teaching and saying, gosh, I they're just not, you know, we should be able to put grandma's quote out of her misery like we can our German Shepherd, or it's the most merciful thing to do. Why is the church so antiquated? And you know what I mean? It's sometimes some people may have a hard time defending the Catholic Church's teaching as being the right thing to do. Do you see that becoming more of an issue where people are kind of going with the flow of the culture and not really understanding those basic principles of Catholic teaching?
I see that more and more. You know, sadly, many states are in the process of or have already included things like physician-assisted suicide. And I oftentimes, people will say the church's teaching is outdated. She needs to come up to the times. But nothing could be further from the truth. You know, faith and reason both come to us from God. There is no contradiction between faith and reason. That's the beauty of my study. I have a master's degree in theology and a master's degree in science and bioethics, and I've never found a point where they conflict. A few years ago, I did a television interview on a state that was working to bring about physician-assisted suicide. And when I met with the interviewer, she kind of looked at my resume and she said, "Well, how do you sleep at night?" I said, "I sleep very well." And she said, "No, you know, you've got religion and you've got science. Like, how is this playing out in your brain?" And I said, "It all fits together like a perfect puzzle. God is the author of life. Thus, all life comes from God. There can never be a conflict between faith and reason." And as I've worked with medical professionals and theologians, I have never once found a place where faith and reason contradict. As a matter of fact, we find that when people make choices that are unethical or immoral, there's oftentimes suffering that comes with that. It goes back to that very basic principle that God loves us and that God wants what is best for us. And thus, sometimes there's pain and there's sorrow involved. You know, death is sad, but it doesn't mean that, and pain and suffering are hard to bear, but there is a good that can come out of that. And so I think we have to get to a level where we trust that God loves us, God cares for us, He died for us on a cross, He shows us how much He loves us, and He's left us a church to guide us back home to Himself. You know, I oftentimes tell people, death is the most important moment in our life. We pray for it all the time, now and at the hour of our death, amen. We ask our Blessed Mother to pray for us. And that's because it's that last chance for conversion or a chance for us to reject God. God has done His part. He loves us unconditionally. And He tells us, "You will love me if you keep my commandments." He shows us the path of salvation. And these rules actually make us freer. They open us up so that we can live life fully and not get caught in some of the traps that our culture leaves us in today.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think some people think the Catholic Church, our goal is just to keep people alive as long as we possibly can under any means necessary. And obviously, that's not what the Catholic Church says. And I just have a few minutes here, and I want to just speak about, you know, the talking about death with our elderly parents, or, you know, having our own conversations about death and really seeing it as not so much the end of a temporal life, but as really the beginning of eternal life. And there should be even a joy or an anticipation when we speak about topics relating to death. Would you agree?
I certainly agree. I think and that's an important thing to remember, is that this life is not all that it is. We are a pilgrim people. We are moving through this life, God willing, to spend eternity with God forever in heaven. Our choices now make that determination. But life is not the end. Eternal life is the end. We're not just pro-life, we're pro-eternal life. The two go hand in hand. And so I think when we have those conversations with our loved ones, that's an important aspect to highlight. I get that the conversation can be a little awkward, but it's an essential conversation, and the sooner we have it in the comfort of our own homes and the comfort of our own time, the better off we are, so we don't have to have these conversations in more difficult situations. But we want to keep that goal of heaven first and foremost. You know, it makes no sense to run a marathon if you don't know where the finish line is. It makes no sense to build a bridge if I don't know what the bridge is supposed to look like. And so in some ways, we have to keep heaven, the ultimate goal of our life, at the forefront. And as we do, a lot of these difficult conversations come into perspective. Just recently, I was privileged to work with a man who was dying of pancreatic cancer, a very painful cancer. And he would have very serious pain episodes. And I would pray with him, and I would be with him. And as he would move through these episodes, you know, he would always remind me, say, "You know, I'm going to see God before you do." And my response was always, "Well, keep me in your prayers when you get to heaven, because I hope to meet you there.
Yeah.
You know, I think the greatest thing we can say, the greatest goal in whether it's my life teaching, whether it's my life presentation, whether it's my service here at the parish or my service to the priest of the archdiocese, is my hope is that when I get to heaven, God willing, I will see all these people I've been blessed to touch, and they'll be able to honestly look at me and say, you helped form me into a saint. And I think each and every one of us in our own vocation and in our own way, if that's our outreach and our charity to others, it just puts everything into perspective for how we're supposed to act.
Yes. Amen. Wow, what a great way to close this out. Father Peter Fonseca, thanks so much. You're so gifted at speaking, and I think this is going to be a really valuable and important webinar. It's only an hour long, so it's going to go by fast. It will be live, which means that you can interact. I know Michael George really reiterated that, is he wanted it to be live. It's not a pre-recorded session, so you can have a Q&A session to speak with Father Peter Fonseca. Again, his presentation will be Monday, September 21st, 2 weeks as of the airing of this this interview here. Principles of Catholic Bioethics, Quality of Life and the Dignity of the Human Person. And don't forget, the first of the four will be 1 week from today, Monday, September 14th, Pastoral Care of the Sick and Dying, with Father Jason Cargo speaking on our faith sacramental graces for the journey. You can register, and you need to register for each one of these individually, CatholicFoundation.com, or you can call 972-331-1645. Father Peter, is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners? And I do thank you very much for being on the program today. Anything else before we say goodbye to you?
Sure. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to join you. You know, as you kind of mentioned, I was down in Dallas earlier this year. It was a great joy, great spirit at St. Rita. So even though travel is pretty restricted with COVID, I'm looking forward to meeting people online. Know of my prayers for all of you leading up to this. If you do take that webinar, I hope you are interactive. We all have questions, and that makes it more fun and more pertinent. If there are more practical questions at the end of that presentation, I always do give my email out. I always tell people it was the great people of the Archdiocese of St. Louis who have paid for all my master's degrees. Therefore, the best I can do is offer it back. So looking forward to being with everyone down in Dallas, even while I stay in St. Louis, and looking forward to a great webinar coming up.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Father Peter Fonseca, again, it's going to be Monday, September 21st, beginning at 7 p.m. Register at CatholicFoundation.com. And you're listening to the Labor Day program of The Good News Show here on KTH 910 a.m.